Welcome to the Crossroads Campus of Charter Oak Church in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. Pastor John Hartland continues the series in his own words with message 3, Light of the World. Jesus is light, he gives light, and darkness cannot extinguish him. This message looks at the three qualities of light.
Jesus is the light of the world, amen? Do we even know what that means? Do we even know what that means today? When we say Jesus is light, that's a metaphor. And I'm not sure if it's a metaphor that we can fully understand in 2018, because when was the last time you were in complete darkness? Have you ever been? It's really hard. I mean, some of us are blessed to live in a country, and that's awesome, and you can see so much in the night sky, but most of us have a really hard time finding those opportunities to be in complete darkness. We just don't get that chance in 2018. We're blessed to have electricity. We have street lamps at night that light our way. Thank God they light our way. That's awesome. Even when it comes to being inside your own home, in the dead of night, I'm somebody who likes to sleep in like complete darkness, but you can't. It's impossible, right? Because every one of our electronic devices has lights on them. Your phone, when it has a message, has a little light that blinks, right? If you have a wireless router, man, the thing lights up like a Christmas tree, doesn't it? Your television set, if you're blessed to have a television set, man, it has a standby light on it. What in the world is the value of a standby light on your television set? I'm ready to be turned on. Turn me on. You know, weird. We're not in complete darkness. So, oh, man, when we talk about Jesus' light is not something we lack today. For us to truly, truly appreciate what light means to us, it would have to go away. Darkness is a terrifying thing, if you really think about it. If you put some even more thought into it, the people of the first century, the people that Jesus would have been directly addressing 2,000 years ago, they would have known what complete darkness really looked like, right? Of course, there was no electricity back then. There's no streetlights. There's no flashlight app on your cell phones back then. If your campfire went out in the first century, if your hearth fire went out, can you imagine this? You're done. You're toast until the sun comes up in the morning, right? Darkness is really scary. At the very least, your mind starts running wild at all the things that can happen in the darkness. Wild animals, enemies can sneak up on you. You can't find really important things you need. Food, things to defend yourself, you know. You can that's right, Barb. You can trip and fall in the dark. Darkness is very scary, and I assume that if any of us found ourselves in complete darkness, we would be absolutely terrified. We need light. Light is comfortable. Light we can see in it. There's safety in light. You know, maybe I misspoke. Maybe we don't understand physical darkness in 2018, but we do understand spiritual darkness. Turn on the television. Listen to what human beings are saying about each other. Listen to what human beings are doing to each other. We understand spiritual darkness. We understand mental darkness. Or at least we're starting to understand mental darkness a little bit more in our world. Suicide has been in the news over the last week, hasn't it? In our schools, we have cyberbullying. We have school shootings. These are things that happen when people are pushed to the brink, when people feel alone and isolated. You know, feel like they're living in the dark. And these are just extreme examples, too. How many of us, every one of us, fumbles around in the dark every day, every week, every year, not wanting to reach out to other people? Our worst fear is that what is inside of us that is dark, that we are keeping hidden, would come out. We would not want that to happen under any circumstance, and so we struggle with our own personal darkness. We have never lived in a world that has been so connected where we feel so alone. We have never lived in a world so full of light that is so dark. And when Jesus says he's the light of the world, maybe what Jesus is trying to tell us is that he is here to help. When we complain about how dark the world is, when we complain about how human beings treat each other, maybe it's Jesus that's here to help. So many of us say we don't need Jesus. So many of us say, you know, Jesus, we want to keep you at arm's length. Let's listen to what Jesus has to say about himself. That's what we're doing this whole series. Our foundational verse today is going to be John chapter 8, verse 12. If you have your Bible with us, with you, if you have an app with you, feel free to turn to John chapter 8, verse 12. This is what we're going to base our entire message on this morning. And I'm just actually going to go over verse 12 here. As you're turning to it, let me read this once. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Let me read that one more time if you don't have a Bible in front of you, because this is very important for us to understand. "I am the light of life," Jesus says. "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Last week, if you were with us, we talked about choices. How Jesus is just so brilliant and so emphatic about presenting his people with a choice. All of us, we all have a choice, whether to follow him or whether to not follow him, whether to be disciples of his or whether not to be disciples of him. And this just perpetuates that choice that we have. We can choose to walk in darkness. We can choose today to walk in darkness. We can. Or we can choose to follow light. We can choose the light that leads to life. This is absolutely incredible. This is the choice that we have today, and we're going to explore this notion of light and life. The beginning of the Gospel of John is all about light and life. Here's what John has to say. He says the Word, Jesus, gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Okay. I feel like I say this a lot in this place, but I want you to hear this again. What Jesus has to offer us is not some motivational speech. He doesn't have a pep talk to offer us that we're going to forget in a couple hours. He doesn't offer us self-help, Jesus does. What Jesus offers us is the light of life that it can never be extinguished. Unstoppable, unfailing, supernatural, undefeated. That's the choice that you have. And today, oh, let's talk about light. Light has three really cool properties that I want to outline just today. First, light drives out darkness. Did you ever think about light before? Light and darkness cannot physically exist in the same space. They are mutually exclusive. It's like oil and water. It's like Penguins fans and Flyers fans. It's like Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels. Now, did he just make an NHL reference and a 1980s pro wrestling reference in the same breath? Yes, he did. I want you to go online and rate this place 5 stars and say, "Your pastor makes pro wrestling references for days." Nobody's going to understand that. I don't know. Probably shouldn't do that. I'm a little bit wired today. We had the blessing of moving this week, and moving is a chore, and there's kind of a lack of sleep going on. I feel like a hummingbird. That's a Simpsons reference. I'm on fire today. Let's get serious. Let's talk about Jesus. I want to have a really frank, really quick, really serious discussion about Jesus Christ's role in the world in 2018. Here it is. You don't need anybody to tell you that the world's dark. We don't have to talk for half an hour about how dark the world is. You know how dark the world is, don't you? So, if light drives out darkness, and Jesus Christ is the light of life, do you think Jesus can help the situation that we're in? Do you think Jesus can speak life into the darkness that you have in your life? Do you think Jesus might have anything to say about this dark world that we live in today? I think he does. And I think he can. Here's what Jesus told his disciples while he was still on this earth. He said, "My light will shine just a little bit longer for you. Walk in the light while you can so that the darkness will not overtake you." That's good advice. Those who walk in the darkness, they can't see where they're going. Now, just to clarify real quick, when Jesus says, "My light will shine for you just a little longer," make no mistake, Jesus' light is still very much present with us today, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But in hindsight, we know exactly what Jesus is talking about. Jesus physically doesn't walk the earth anymore right now. Jesus was crucified for our sins, and he went to heaven, and that's where he's waiting for us right now. But his light very much is still with us. We'll talk about that in a few minutes, but right now, we're talking about the contrast between light and darkness. Let's turn those lights off again. I want to show you something. Darkness is scary, but light helps us find the way. Now, here's a really funny situation. This happened at 9 o'clock, too. It's dark now, so I can't see. I can't see the on switch for this thing. Any drama that I had just completely went away. Let me try to find this on button. Hold on. Here it is. I found it. Darkness is scary, but light helps us find the way. Now, the thing about this is a camping lantern, and there's light here. But there's darkness out there. And in between the darkness and the light, there's some shades of gray, aren't there? There's some shadows kind of wandering around in between the darkness and the light a little bit. In between the darkness and the light, there's some light. And I got to tell you that some light is very, very dangerous. Some light gives us confidence enough to think that we can see, but oh man, there are plenty of things to trip over. I think I shared this with you before, but in college I was studying in my friend's dorm late at night my freshman year. He lived in West Halls, I lived in East Halls at Penn State. And I had to catch the bus, the loop, back to East Halls. And I caught the last one. I had to rush out and catch the last bus so I didn't have to walk all the way to East Halls. And I forgot one of my textbooks. So my friend comes running out of his dorm to try to catch me at full speed to try to give me back my textbook. Now, there was some light. There was a street lamp over his head. He thought he could run safely at full speed in the middle of the night. Unfortunately for him, he tripped over something. And he hurt himself very, very badly, thinking that he was safe running in some light. Some light is very, very dangerous. Let's turn those lights back on. When it comes to this metaphor of light and Jesus, it's just so perfect. Please don't ever make the mistake of thinking that some Jesus is enough. King David says in 2 Samuel, "O Lord, you are my lamp. The Lord lights my darkness." The thing about a lamp is you have to be close to the lamp to get any benefit from it. If you've ever been hiking at night, or especially if you've ever been caving or spelunking, right? You have to be close to the source of light to get any benefit from it. How that transfers to our relationship with Jesus is being able to say with confidence, "Jesus is my Lord." Can we do that? Do we know Jesus' word, and do we do what it says? Do you make decisions in your life based on your faith? Now, if you're not at that place yet, you are welcome in this place, and I love you, and I'm so glad you're here. But if you are not in a place where you can say, "Jesus is the Lord of my life," you know, he's the light of the world, is he the light of your world? If he's not, I want to ask you a very difficult question, because I care about you. How much darkness is cool with you? Some? Are you okay with some darkness? You know, there's always those studies trying to scare us about what percentage of bacteria is in our drinking water, right? And the joke is, of course, that any percentage of bacteria in our drinking water is not okay. Let me ask you the same question. What percentage of darkness are you okay with in your life? What if your life was free of darkness? You know that's what Jesus Christ offers, right? It's supernatural. But that's what Jesus Christ offers. Please never be deceived into thinking that a little bit of Jesus is good enough. If you are tired of the darkness in this world, if you are tired of the darkness in your life, be as close to the source of light as you possibly can. Know Jesus' word. Do what it says. Light drives out darkness. Light also reveals hidden things. This might be my favorite quality of light. Light reveals hidden things. Parents, fathers, it's Father's Day. Have you ever stepped barefoot on a Lego? You know the value of light revealing hidden things, right? Nothing that is hidden is ever good. Nothing that is hidden is ever good. Check this out. Proverbs says, "The Lord's light penetrates the human spirit, exposing every human motive." The Lord's light penetrates the human spirit, exposing every hidden motive. Yay! Any of y'all excited about that? Can I get an amen for this? No. No. Wow. Because we're human beings, right? And because when you read this in Proverbs, your first instinct is probably not to be excited about this. What if every one of your thoughts was live streamed on the internet? Yeah, I wouldn't want that either. On a serious note, what if every one of the things that you are struggling with was put out there for the world to see? What if every sin that was ever committed against you was put on display for the world to see? Knee-jerk reaction, not a good thing. Right? Not a good thing. Just knee-jerk reaction, that's all. We keep some things in our lives hidden, don't we? We just hide some things in our life. Some of us hide behind, you know, our nice home. Some of us hide behind trendy clothes. Some of us hide behind our social media feeds. We hide things. We keep things hidden. You know we do. We do it too as a church. We do a really good job of hiding things in a church, don't we? We build these stained glass walls. We want everyone to think that we're perfect. We want everyone to think that we have it all together and that nobody else does. You know what that does? That makes people not want to join us in what we're doing. We hide things. We keep them hidden. The Apostle John talks about this. In John chapter 3, very profound statement. Check this out. "There is no judgment," John says, "against anyone who believes in Jesus." Great. "But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son." Now, here's what I really want you to pay attention to. The judgment is based on this fact. Check this out. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. "All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed." For fear their sins will be exposed. "But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants." God's word says that hidden things are never good. Why? Why aren't hidden things ever good? There's a reason we keep those things hidden, right? There's a reason we keep those hidden things hidden, right? It's because there are things that we don't want exposed. I don't want you to know about the things I struggle with, right? You can probably say the same thing about everyone in here. These things that we don't want revealed, it's called sin. It's called sin. Maybe that's a churchy word. Maybe you don't like that word. So the definition of sin is very simply something that God tells us is bad for us. something that God tells us is bad for us. He doesn't want us to sin for our own good. Unfortunately, these things that are bad for us, that God knows are bad for us, that we probably in our heart of hearts know are bad for us too, these are things we can't stop doing. Things that we know are bad for us that we can't stop doing. What's another word for that? It's not sin. It's addiction. Sin and addiction are synonymous. So, how do we stop? How do we stop doing these things that we know are bad for us? You're not going to like the answer. I don't like the answer sometimes. We've got to bring these things into the light. We have got to, there's one prescription for this. We have got to bring these things into the light. It starts with us confessing these things to God. When we confess what we call sin to God, something really cool happens. It lets God know. And maybe even more profoundly, it lets us know, because God already knows. It lets us know that we are ready to let go of that thing. But here's the thing, it doesn't just stop with confessing these things before God. It doesn't. We have to confess them before other people too. And the thing about that is we're not confessing our deepest, darkest sins to strangers. You know, I know it sounds scary to confess our sins before other people, but we're not confessing them before people on the street. We're confessing our sins between people that we have deep relationships with. People that love us, people that know us, people that can hold us accountable, people that can walk beside us. It's all about forming these deep relationships. We advertise our small groups at Charter Oak Church all the time. Deep relationships are the best thing about our small groups. Ironically, deep relationships are kind of the thing that scares a lot of us. Maybe the fact that small groups are deep relationships are the things that have been keeping you away from jumping into one of our small groups. Is this summer the time where you give one of our small groups a shot here at Charter Oak Church? If you want to find out more information about just trying it out, you can visit us back in our Connect area after the service. Okay. Light reveals hidden things. That's good. Light drives out darkness. That's good. The final thing I want to talk to you about, the final quality of light I wanted to talk to you about today is that light is transferable. Light's transferable. Have you ever been to a Christmas Eve candlelight service? We do one here at Crossroads and at all of our campuses at Charter Oak, and it's beautiful. You know, if you've never been to one, the Christ candle is lit. One big candle is lit. But that's not the only candle that's lit, because we walk down the aisle and we pass that light to everybody. And we all pass it down the row, and suddenly what was once a very dark room is now filled with light. We do that because that's exactly what happened on that first Christmas when the light of life came into the world, right? When a very dark world became lighter because of Jesus' presence in it. That one candle is not the only candle that remains lit. And you have to understand that. You have to. One of the things we've already heard Jesus say today is that his light would remain for just a little while longer, right? Jesus is not walking the earth anymore, but his light remains. How does that happen? Man, Jesus, before he went back to heaven, did something very, very interesting. He gathered together the church. He founded the church. He started the church. He formed us. And then he told the church something, say, controversial. I think it's the most controversial thing Jesus ever said. He looked at his disciples, who were the first church, and he said this. He said, "You will do greater things than I did." Whew. He looked at you through the veil of history and said, "You will do greater things than I did, you as the church." How could that possibly be? That sounds very close to blasphemy if we think we could do better things than Jesus, but Jesus told us himself that we would. How could we do greater things than he? The answer is very simple. He is singular. We is plural. He had the Holy Spirit. Now we have the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead exists in you and you and you and you and every one of the 80 people that are in this room right now. That's how we can do greater things than even Jesus did, by multiplying. If you have your phone with you, would you just take it out? Just take out your phone. Pretend you're at a concert. It's a far stretch. Hold up your phone like you're at a concert. Hold it up! Yeah. Jesus' light must be transferable. Jesus' light must be transferable. The Christ candle is not the only candle that can remain lit, you guys. This world becomes a less dark place when we take the light of Christ and we transfer it to others, and we transfer it to others, and they transfer it to others. Do you understand? Jesus says in Matthew, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Who's the light of the world? You are. You are! This is Jesus talking here. We know Jesus is the light of the world, but this is Jesus talking. Who is the you? You are the you. You are the light of the world. I hope that gives you chills today. Oh my goodness. Paul writes this in Ephesians, for once in your former life, doesn't matter what you did in your past, in your former life, you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of the light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. The light in you produces what is good and right and true. I've got to tell you, there is no other source on the planet of what is good and right and true. If you think you have found anything that you think provides this right and trueness, it's false. It's false. Good and right and true only comes from heaven. Jesus came from heaven. He was good and right and true. He passed what is good and right and true off to us. Now, it's our joy to spread what is good and right and true to our family, to our neighbors, to the people that we love in this community. We complain about a dark world. How in the world can this dark world get any lighter? By spreading the light of Christ. It's not that difficult a question to answer. Form deep relationships with people. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Bring them to this place. Form deep relationships with people. Tell people about Jesus. Bring them to this place or whatever church family you call home. Jesus tells us how this is supposed to work. He says, put your trust in the light while there is still time. Then you will become children of the light. I've got to tell you, none of us know how long we have. None of us know how long the people around us, the people that we love, have. Become children of the light and spread that light to others. So the invitation this morning is twofold. If you're somebody today who has never given your life to Jesus, you can do that today. You don't have to say a fancy prayer. You don't have to say the exact right prayer. The only thing you have to do with Jesus is literally just say, I'm yours. I don't even know what that means, Lord Jesus, but I'm yours. I want to be yours. Show me what my next step is. See what happens. I'll share a story with you. That's for another time. The second invitation is for those of us who have already given our life to Christ, but who still cling to some dark areas in our life. Here's the invitation. Let that beautiful, brilliant light of Christ penetrate your entire life. Let those dark areas of your life just come out and get unhidden for your own benefit. And then when that brilliant light is shining in you, please be sure you pass that along to other people. Be a child of the light. Make deep relationships with people. Tell people about your faith in Jesus Christ and let your light shine, children. Let's pray. Father God, on this Father's Day, we are humbled. For those of us who have said yes to you, we are humbled to be your children, the children of the God of the universe. Are you kidding me? Thank you. Thank you for the guidance you provide. Thank you for the light that you give us so that we can see. Lord God, I'm tired of living in darkness. Maybe some of my brothers and sisters here are tired of living in darkness. We want your light, whether it's for the first time or whether we are recommitting ourselves to you, Lord God. We're tired of the darkness and we want your light. Not our light, not the light that anything else can provide, but your light. Please help us see that it's your light that guides us. Father God, we give you great thanks for just being able to know your word. I don't know where everybody in this room heard your word for the first time, but the fact that you made it available to us in what we call the Bible is the most extraordinary thing. Father God, may we use those Bibles. May we wear that thing out. And may we just not know your word. May we do what it says. Lord God, today we want to be your kids. Help make it so. Show us our next right step. And it's in your precious Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for spending this time in worship with all of us here at the campuses of Charter Oak Church. We hope you'll join us next week as we wrap up the series, In His Own Words. In the meantime, if you'd like to learn more about the church or any of the goings-on at the three campuses on Fry Farm Road, Crossroads, or Jeanette, please check out our website at www.charteroak.church.